सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः। ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। I am in God and God is in me. That is what Bhagavan Sri Krishna has told us so far in the 7th and in the 8th chapter, where he says that whatever you see, everything is God, and inside and outside, antar bahishta tat svarvam vyapta narayana tishtati, God is everywhere inside and outside. And he is the inner controller, he is also the prakriti, he is also the universe. And one who remembers me, Bhagavan says, at the time of death, reaches me. And last week we had heard how through all our activities, I can remember God and take God with me to work, study, wherever I am. Keep God with me at all times. And then we ended with the very beautiful verse last week, Kavim Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyan Samanusmaredyaha Sarvasya Dhata Ramachintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasav Parastat. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says this consciousness that is everywhere is omniscient, knows all, is ancient, is before time. Even when there was no time, there was nothing, no universe, that consciousness, Brahman, that God was. And he's the inner controller and also the substratum of the whole universe. Everything, the whole universe is stationed on that consciousness. Is subtler than the subtlest, bigger than the biggest. And it is of the nature of light, of the nature of brilliance. Tamasav Parastat is like the sun which illumines the whole universe, but also illumines darkness. So what do we mean by it illumines darkness? As we had said last time, say I'm sitting in a dark room and I'm very sad, you know, my beloved has left me and I'm singing, Jab Dil Hi Toot Gaya. तब जी के क्या करेंगे. हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू रिमेंबर नो दिस सॉन्ग, रेज योर हैंड. इफ यू रेज योर हैंड यू आर क्लोज टू 70 ईयर्स ओल्ड. यू हैव जस्ट टोल्ड अस योर एज. सो द पॉइंट इज दैट व्हेन आई एम सिटिंग इन अ डार्क रूम, देर इज नो सनलाइट, देर इज नो रूम लाइट, देर इज नो मून लाइट, बट स्टिल आई एम अवेयर ऑफ माई थॉट्स एंड आई डू नॉट नीड अ लाइट. So that light of consciousness which illumines my thoughts even in darkness, illumines my presence that I am there, that is this consciousness that we call as Brahman, which is the substratum. So this is how much we have studied about this, the Supreme Lord. And today Bhagavan will tell us more about who or what this consciousness is. And how we can know that, how we can keep our thoughts constantly on that during meditation and also throughout the day. And what is the benefit of focusing? What is the benefit of meditation? Why this study will help us not only in our spiritual journey, but also in our daily life. A lot of students, you will be now going to college and then later on in your career. How this knowledge can be useful. So we'll talk about that in today's verse. So chapter 8, verse number 10. This is a slightly different meter. Prayana kale manasa chalena.
Prayana kale manasa chalena.
भक्त्या युक्तो योग बलेन चैव.
भक्त्या युक्तो योग बलेन चैव.
ध्रुवोर्मध्ये प्राणमावेश्य सम्यक्.
ध्रुवोर्मध्ये प्राणमावेश्य सम्यक्.
सतं परं पुरुषमुपैति दिव्यम्.
Satam param purusham upaiti divyam.
Together. Prayana kale manasa chalena. Bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Bhruvor madhye pranamaveshya samyak. Satam param purusham upaiti divyam. So this Param Purusha, this word we have also heard in the 8th shloka. The supreme consciousness. Purusha here does not mean man or human, but the supreme being, the supreme consciousness. So this Param Purusha Divyam, this resplendent being, how can we reach it? So Bhagavan tells us, Prayana kale, at the time of death. What is this death? We'll talk about. Manasa achalena. Manasa is the third case. Instrument. Using the mind, which is achala, which is undisturbed, focused, concentrated. And how? Bhaktya yuktaha. It is endowed with devotion, with love for God. We'll talk about bhakti. And with a yoga bala, with the power of yoga, with the energy of yoga. And how, what do we do with this yoga? We focus the prana, bhruvor madhye, in the middle of the brow, above the eyebrows, in the mid, at the Agnya chakra, bhruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak. Focus your pranas on this bhruva, on this forehead, samyak. Perfectly, clearly placed on it, then what happens? Satam param purusham. So such a person who can do this reaches upaiti param purusham divyam, reaches this resplendent being, this God, this consciousness. So prayana kale means at the time of death. So do we mean to say that at the time of death, when I am lying, you know, in my deathbed and I can hardly breathe, or maybe I'm on a ventilator, or I am, you know, out of in a coma, how am I going to be able to remember that God? And he says, Manasa achalena, focus your mind with bhakti on that supreme being. That time my focus will be on my breath. I can barely breathe. How am I going to practice this yoga of meditation? So Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda explains to us that it's not the death of the body, but the death of the ego. It is this ego which is the obstacle on our spiritual journey, or even in our life. When our ego is very strong, then we are not able to work with others, we are not able to connect with everyone, not able to connect with our own inner strength. So because the ego exerts itself, so it says the ego dies. What that ego dies means this feeling that God and I are separate. As we said, I am in God and God is in me. We had covered this before. Kabir Das Ji says it very beautifully. Prem gali ati sankri. Ya main hu to hari nahi, hari hu to main nahi. Means the path of love is so narrow that if God is there, then I am not there. If I am there, God is not there. What it means is that I have to merge my ego with that God, the consciousness that God alone is, and merge my ego with everyone. That is the identification with the totality. So at the time of the death of the ego, that is how the ego can be annihilated. Does not mean that the individual becomes useless. In fact, the individual becomes even more effective. Whatever path of, whether you are at work or whether you are in studies or whether you are working at home or whether you are on your spiritual journey, the ego is the obstacle. Once the ego becomes less, then I connect with the all and I connect with the divinity within. So manasa achalena. So and the mind has to be very focused. I mean, all of us know that. If you want to be successful in studies, I have to have focus. If I want to start a career, I have to be focused. For us who are on the spiritual path, we have been so far focusing on our work, our family, but now we have to turn our focus towards God, towards what is my highest goal in life. So achala, the mind has to be unwavering, constant focus on the goal. For example, all of you are going to go to college and it becomes very easy for the mind to get deviated. You know, it's good. You're away from parents, have fun, enjoy life. But in the fun and friends and enjoyment, I should not forget, why am I in college? What is my goal in life? What is my career? And the children who are focused are the ones that do well in life. So that is why Bhagwan says, manasa achalena, mind unwavering. And for us adults, what is my spiritual goal? I have to be focused on. Bhaktya yukta. Bhakti is often misunderstood. I mean, bhakti, of course, one aspect of bhakti is going to the temple, praying and offering flowers. That is wonderful. But our bhakti should not end there. That is good. But this bhakti should be translated to this God that I have seen in the temple or that I am seeing in my puja room is the same God that is in all beings, and God is in me and God alone is. So the ability to unselfishly love God, not loving God for what I can get, but loving God for what he is or she is, that is bhakti, unselfish, total identification, and that is true bhakti. Now yoga bala, with the strength of yoga, connect with this brow. Focus your breath in the brow. What it means is that when I am doing pranayama, you know, before people do meditation or even otherwise to quieten the mind, say your mind is a lot of stress, you just take few deep breaths and focus the mind on the center of the brow. What it does is it quietens the mind and connects it with the inner energy. If you read the yoga shastras, I was just reading them recently, and they have described, it's amazing how much our ancestors knew. They said there are 350,000 nadis within our body. What they by nadis, they mean the veins, the arteries, the capillaries, and the nerves, the nervous system. All of them have been described in our yoga shastra. It's so beautiful. And in that, they said there are three nadis. I was amazed to read that. They call them the Ida, the Pingala, and the Sushumna nadi. Now, the Ida is the intrinsic. It is the left brain. It corresponds to the left brain and the left nervous system. And they said that that is introvert and that is connected to the right side of the body. They knew that at that time, that the left side of the nervous system controls the right side of the body. And the right side, which is the pingala, is the extrovert, which connects with the left side. The things that scientists have discovered in the last 50 years, they already have described that in our yoga shastras. So these are the two side nervous systems. And the central is called Sushumna Nadi. And that is a very, very powerful nadi which connects our six chakras. You all of you know the chakras. You know, the Agnya Chakra, Vishuddhi, Anahat, you know, Manipur and Swadhisthan and Mooladhara. These six chakras. And the seventh is the top of the head, the crown chakra, Sahasra Chakra. So this Sushumna Nadi, which is the center where all the energy flow occurs, is what these yogis use to take their energy upwards. You know, you must have heard of lifting the kundalini. And Swami Vivekananda was an example where he was such a great yogi that at the time of death, he was able to lift his energy and go out of what is called as the Brahma Rantra, the opening of Brahman. And only yogis can do that. You and I, when we give up our body, we will go out of the mouth or the nose or the ears, but yogis can go out. And this Brahma Rantra, mothers will know that, when a child is born, there is a defect in the scalp, which is very soft because the bones are not fused. And it is said that the jiva at the time of birth enters, not at the time of birth, but when life enters in the mother's womb, the jiva enters through this Brahma Rantra where there is a gap in the bone, but yogis are able to penetrate that at the time of death. So what they are saying is focus your energy, move it upward to focus on that. And that is the yoga. That is the practice of yoga. Then he says pranam. What is prana? Prana we often take as breath. You know, they say pranayam, control of the breath. But our masters tell us that there are five pranas. One is prana is the intake. You know, whatever I intake, not only by food, but by breath, what I hear, what I see, what I smell, taste, all the intake is called prana. Apana is the excretion. So whatever I excrete, that is excretion. And then there is Vyana. Vyana is the circulatory system. Samana is the digestive system. So even that many thousand years ago, they knew that there is a circulatory system, digestive system. They have totally described the function of that. And then Udana. Udana is the fifth one, which helps us to see beyond our present knowledge. Also, Udana is described as the force which pushes the being out at the time of death, when this subtle body, the mind and intellect, leaves this body and goes to either higher worlds or lower worlds. So at the time of death, the Udana becomes very powerful. So these five pranas, they are all have to be controlled and focused. We'll be talking about that a little later also, about the pranas. So it says that such a person travels to the Supreme Being. Now, how can you travel to God? As we said, God is within us. God is with us at all times. So, how can I travel? Travel because you and I think God is somewhere far away, is distant from us. He's in the temple or the church, or God is somewhere up in heaven, above space. But there is no travel. It is understanding that God and I are one. That is the travel. The travel is by myself to myself. But it appears distant to us because we are mentally far away from this God. That's why they say you have to meditate. You have to pray to reach that. To reach this state, one should travel without baggage. You know, they say it's better to just have minimum baggage when you travel. So what is our baggage? Baggage is our hang-ups, our attachments, our ego, our vasanas, our selfish desires. That is the baggage that prevents us from traveling to ourself. To know myself, I have to give up all these things. And then alone, we know myself. And then a person who has realized his or her oneness with God, then there is no death. Then where is the death? Once I have understood that I am the immortal consciousness, then for such a person, death has no meaning. Because death is what? Just giving up the body. But he has already gone beyond death. That's why these great masters, even thousands of years later, we still remember Buddha, we still remember Jesus Christ, we still remember Shankaracharya ji, all these great, because they have gone beyond death. They have realized their oneness with the totality. And for that clear knowledge of what is my goal, where am I going, and what am I to do with my life is very, very important. That's why the study of the Bhagavad Gita and then whatever all of you have studied through Bal Vihar over the 12 years, this knowledge is very important. Talking about clear knowledge, you must have heard of Sherlock Holmes. You know, he was a great detective in England. And he had a sidekick, Watson, who was one step behind Sherlock, not able to keep up with his brilliance. Sherlock was very brilliant. So one night they were camping out in the wilderness and they were asleep. And so Sherlock wakes up Watson in the middle of the night. Watson, Watson, wake up. So he says, what? He says, what do you see? Watson says, I see the stars. So Sherlock says, what does that tell you? So Watson thinks for a while. He says, well, astronomically, it tells me that there are billions of stars and billions of galaxies, and the Earth is a small little speck, and I am a small little speck. Sherlock says, good. What else does it tell you? He says, theologically, it tells me there is a supreme God, a consciousness who is the creator of this whole universe and has also created me. He says, okay, what else does it tell you? He says, meteorologically, it tells me that it is a clear day. I can see all the stars. There's no clouds, so tomorrow will be a good day for hiking. So Sherlock says, okay. So Watson tells Sherlock, he says, what does this tell you? He says, you idiot, somebody has stolen our tent. So he was so focused on these other extrinsic things that he forgot what is important. So that is what we say, that be focused on what is your goal, what is important. Do not get sidetracked. And so that's what Bhagwan is telling us, that keep your focus on the brow, keep your focus on the higher, keep your focus on me, on the Lord. And that is the essence of this beautiful verse.